And I invite you to take your sermon notes. They're in your worship folder if you'd like, if that's something you want to do, or on the app as well. Well, and Betty, I don't know what it means to be a senior adult yet. I am a grandpa. But I don't think I'm quite there yet. I haven't earned those stripes. I don't get the discounts. But I have made it to November. All of us have. And I don't know about you, but it seems like the older I do get, the faster that time kind of flies. I don't know if there's a medical explanation of it other than just thankfulness that I continue to breathe and move forward, but time is really flying. And I admit that as time gets past us and moves and continues and things are going on, some of us will look back and some of us are looking forward. That's just kind of the nature of things, whether it be something we've looked back on of celebration or regret, or just looking forward to with hope of what's coming. But regardless of which one, or maybe the combination of the two, I want to ask you a simple question today. What do you hope to be different in your life? Real simple question, right? You know, what would you like to see different? Whether it's because of looking back or anticipating the future, the chances are most of us could list some different things that would fall within those, whether it be financial, physical, relational, or spiritual. Some would list, well, I really want to lose weight, or I'm always promising to slow down, or I really need to spend more time with my family, or I really need to find a mentor. I'm not satisfied with my spiritual life. I need more in that way. Or I need to help find a place to use my gifts in my community and in my church. Could be in a mix of those different things, or whatever it would be. But whatever's on your list, the problem, I don't know about you, but what I have found is the problem is that as soon as I decide to be different, Satan gives me excuses to stay the same. It's, you know, I'm certain most of us can attest to that struggle. You know, as soon as you make a decision, well, here's what I'm going to do, all of a sudden, all these excuses start to pop up of why I can't. In fact, in Luke chapter 14, Jesus tells a parable. Really captures this problem in a lot of different ways. It says, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell all those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready. But they all alike began making excuses. The first said, I just bought a field and I must go and see it. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Still another said, well, I just got married, so I can't come. And so immediately upon the invitation, instead of moving forward and actively participating in what they'd been invited to do, they start giving excuse after excuse. I'd like to be different. I want this in my life to be different, but I would love to do this, but I would like it to be different. This would be different about my life, but, you know, I tried last year and maybe even a little bit the year before, and it just didn't work out, so why even try? But the problem seems to be that we have good intentions, and then we start to rely on our own strength, our own resolve. But at some point, those resources become very limited. The reason for this is we've got good intentions rather than God intentions. And there's a tremendous difference between the two. good intentions center around us. This is what I would like to be different in my life. They're me-centered. But God intentions are very different because they're focused and centered around God. And this is what God wants to be different about my life. And instead of being based on my own abilities, my strength, my own resolve, if I've got a God intention, then I learn to lean into God's power alongside mine to do what God wants me to do. So it's time for all of us to quit making excuses. So let me ask you a couple of questions. They're a little bit different than the first one. A little bit different than what people would ask, but I think the difference has dramatic effect for us. Instead of asking what you want to be different about your life, I'd prefer and suggest that we start asking ourselves, what does God want to be different in my life? What does God, who loves you, desires the best for you, what does God want to be different in your life? And I want you to prayerfully think about that. Rather than just kind of going, well, that's just, you know. And I realize very clearly that sometimes what God wants for my life and what I want are the same thing. But when the idea begins with God rather than myself, it changes the way I approach it. So what does God want? For some of you, God wants you to start a ministry. I don't know what it is, but it's been on your heart for a long time. Maybe God wants you to give something to somebody, to become more generous in some way. Or God wants you to invest spiritually in your children. Because, you know, you're a good dad, you're a good mom, but you understand that you haven't been pouring spiritually into their life. So what do you believe that God wants you to do? What does God want to be different? And a lot of you, I know you already know. And you can go ahead and write that down in your notes. You know what God is calling you to do. You've been kind of resisting it. You've been giving the excuses for a long time. But what is it? And the second question, and this is where a lot of the power comes in these questions, is why does God want this to be different in your life? This is important because when we connect the spiritual why to the what, it's where we receive a power and motivation to accomplish it beyond ourselves. Let me give you an example. Let's take a typical one that most of us, at least of us adults, have said at one point. You know, I really believe God wants me to start exercising. He wants me to get in better shape, at least. You know, to eat right, to lose some weight. Well, why? Because round is not the kind of shape that I need to be in. And I don't look good in my fat jeans. I don't look good in skinny jeans either, but you know, hey, that's another thing. And while the doctors may agree with all those points, the better answer is because we need to fully understand that our body is the temple of a holy God. That the Spirit lives within us. And that there is a component within this that we understand it's the house of God. And God wants to He wants us to honor Him by caring for our bodies so that we can live long, effective days on earth while we glorify God through the use of our body. That is the better why for the what. Because when we connect the spiritual with the what, your motivation increases to do that which God has called you to do and which pleases God. When you connect the spiritual why with the what, then all of a sudden all the excuses that used to keep us from starting, start to diminish. Because the motivation is by the one who asked you to do it and for his glory. If the God is the author of change, in the change you have his resources available, then there's no valid excuse that will keep you from seeking the perfect will of God, because this isn't about me. It's not about just good intention. This is a God-centered intention. This is what he wants, and nothing should keep me from that pursuit. The only thing that can keep it me from that pursuit, honestly, is my own selfishness and sin that flows from focusing on myself. So a great example of this is Exodus chapter 4. Many of you should probably know the story. God has called Moses to help deliver the Hebrew people, the Israelites, from the bondage of slavery to the Egyptians. The work's been hard, the toil's been, they've been crying out for deliverance. And Moses has already reacted in some of this. He's seen what was going on. He recognizes that he is a Hebrew that has had a different situation because of his mother. And she saved him in the midst of all that story. And so he's gone off, and now they've been crying out for deliverance. And so God chooses Moses and asks him to do something out of his comfort zone. And that's an amazing thing about God, because typically when God asks you to do something, it's not something that you can easily accomplish. That, because if you could have accomplished it easily, you wouldn't need God. But, and so similarly, some of you are going to be asked to do something that's going to stretch you a little bit. It's going to do something that's going to ask you to change in a way that you don't think is possible, which is actually more evidence that it's God asking you to do it. Because God gets the glory when he helps you do the things that you couldn't do on your own. So God tells Moses, hey, you're my guy. You're the one I'm sending you. And Moses says, God, I think you got the wrong person. I don't think so. I'm not your guy. It says in verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. So God issues instructions to Moses, and Moses' response was to begin listing the resume of excuses of why he couldn't possibly be the one that God is sending. Now, he wasn't good enough. He was looking at his own inabilities, rather than God's unlimited abilities. He's focusing on himself and his very limited power and his own history, rather than God's unlimited power and potential. Verse 11, the Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? In case you're not paying attention, Moses, is it not I, the Lord? In other words, if I'm going to ask you to do something, Moses, don't you think that since I'm on your side, that I'm going to help you get it done? So if you truthfully want to answer the question, here's what I believe the Lord wants me to be different in my life, don't you think that God is going to be there to help you proceed? He says, I will see it through completion. I truly believe that some of you know something that God wants to be different in your life, and you've been instead listing all the reasons why you can't and why you won't and it'll never happen, and we continue to say stop. But I would ask you this, is anything too hard for the Lord? We need to stop giving our earthly excuses that only go about discounting the power of God. God goes on to tell Moses, now go. I will help you speak and I will teach you what to say. And in this we find really two very practical things that help us The first one, I believe that God is saying not only to Moses, but to each of us here this morning, do what you can, now go do it. Do what you can, now go do it. We need to stop looking at the excuses. And I've said this before, delayed obedience is still disobedience. Follow through, go. If God is showing you what he wants, go and do the next thing that you can do. And the second point comes out right after, in the midst of that. Trust God to do what you cannot do on your own. We declare by the that I believe the Lord wants me to quit smoking or drinking or doing something, so we spiritualize it. And I'd say, well, I'm waiting for him to take the desire away. Well, let's start with what you can do. Get that stuff out of your house. God, I'm doing what I can do. I'm trusting you to do what I can't. God wants me to get healthier. Well, let's start by throwing the Twinkies out. We know they'll survive past the nuclear holocaust. And I heard that awe over there. God's not expecting you to go out and run a marathon tomorrow. But you can start the exercise pattern by walking the Twinkies out to the trash can. It just pains my heart to say that. But whatever it is, be faithful to do what God has called you to do. I believe that God, you know, maybe God, you believe that God wants you to start a small group, and you're like, yeah, that's beyond me. I'm not that kind of person. I can't do that. And so what do? Well, you start it like this. You call some friends together, and you say, hey, will you just come on over to my house? I'll have some coffee ready. We're going to spend some time in God's Word. And you're, if that intimidates you, I tell you, at the backside of your notes is exactly what you can start with. There's questions to help lead through and think through the process that goes along with what we're sharing today. And then you share prayer and you share in fellowship. It's as simple as that. And then God takes over. So here's what happened, and this is really good news for us. God said to Moses, go, and when you go, I will help you and teach you. So it's almost like God's implying, well, you do what you can do. There are some things that I won't do until you start to step out in faith. But I will help you once you start. With my kids, I had the honor. I wouldn't have declared it at that time, the honor, but I had the honor of teaching them all how to ride a bicycle. And you know, if you've ever taught someone how to ride a bicycle, at some point you have to take the training wheels off. And my kids have relied on those training wheels for so long, but they don't realize yet that they can do a whole lot more once they get rid of the training wheels. And so I take them off. Their first question, well, what if I fall? And I say, you will. But what happens is you get up, you get back on, and you try again. But as we begin, I'm going to help you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be by your side. And I'm going to be holding on. And at some point, when you don't even know it, I'm going to let go. Not because I want you to fall, but because I want you to succeed. You can understand that God moves us forward in that same way. That God is saying to us, you go and I'll be there for you. I'll be by your side. I'll help you. And you do what you can do, and God calls us to do it. And you go, and he'll help you, and he'll teach you. It's time to get rid of the excuses. And so we declare and we live into that truth that I can have faith for what God has asked me to do. Think about what could be different in your life, in the lives around you, if we would quit making excuses. You come to God with ideas centered and focused around Him, His power, His glory. And you do what you can do, and you trust God what you can't do. And then He gets the glory when together you do these things to lift up His name. The thing about our witness is nobody can deny it. We know what the Holy Spirit's done in our life. We know what the Holy Spirit continues to do in our life as He moves us forward. That it's His grace that saves us, not our own actions. It's His blood, not our own good thoughts. As we celebrate baptism today, I've talked with each of these participants that they understand this is a choice they are making to put their, that they have made and put their faith in God, that God is moving them forward. This is a declaration publicly of that very thing. And we're going to have a great time. It's a great celebration today. And join me in celebration with them. Big understanding of celebration. And so I'm going to ask all those that are going to be participating to join me. And Lenny and the praise team are going to come and lead us in a song. As Lenny and them come up, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, no more excuses. I want to follow You, God, and I understand that that comes with my limits, but not Yours. Help me to honor You in all that I do. Help me to trust You in all I do. That You continue to call us to more, not because You want us frustrated, but because You understand the potential of our lives, because we were made in Your image. You were not made in ours. And so we give to You our lives today. We thank You for all that You do and continuing to bless us through Your grace, mercy, and love. That Your forgiveness is the best gift. And it's continually pursuit that You continually pursue us, Lord. And we give You thanks today as we celebrate in these baptisms and for what they mean in the lives of Your faithful followers. In Your name we pray, amen.